right, welcome back to RBKD, Country Music Friday edition of RBKD. We'll talk some Texas Tech here, get back to previewing that matchup. We'll start, though, with finishing up our Big 12 breakdown of some of the highlights and really the top games from Big 12 play over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up here momentarily. You can always watch the show at RBKD. You can watch at hornfm.com. There should be a link there. Then you can tap into the Twitch stream. Makes it really easy on you. Also can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01 and John is at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. All right. Let's finish up our discussion about the Big 12 games, and then we'll dive into some more Texas Tech discussion. We talked about Oklahoma, West Virginia already. We didn't get into the, because I'm a little torn on this game, the Kansas State-Oklahoma State matchup.
I have no idea.
I don't trust Spencer Sanders.
But I've done the research, y'all. In the more research, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you, give me where you're leaning. You got to be leaning one way. There's no way you're just straddling the fence on it.
No. So in terms of Dave Paul, if you're listening,
it's at Oklahoma State.
And
it's
you're
in Stillwater.
Steal again, then I'm going to get on you. We're going to start checking you here. I'm going to take Kansas State with the points, but in terms of a win, I mean, I really think it'll probably be an Oklahoma State win.
So it's a three-point game. It'll be a field goal
26-23.
Game.
26-23.
Okay. 27-24. I got Oklahoma State win. Well, I'm leaning Oklahoma State, but man. I could easily see K-State winning that game because right now K-State's playing some good football. Our sample size of Will Howard, Will spill the pill Howard last year. If it's not true this year, if he actually does, progress and starting to, take care of the football a little bit more, he can be really, really effective with his legs.
Yeah.
And then they can just put him in situations where he'll just have high percentage targets. Stay out of third and long. Stay out of situations where you got to throw the football vertically downfield. He can work the short to intermediate area. K-State doesn't want to wow you in the passing game. They want to control the game with the running game. And Deuce Vaughn, as we know, Longhorn fans know, you can put eight in the box and still Deuce Vaughn will shake two guys and make you look stupid out there. He's that good. And they're running they're running some really creative run concepts with K-State right now. If you watch K-State, they get really funky in the running game, especially, with Will Howard. Will Howard's a better running threat than Skylar Thompson. So they're running a lot of, I think, stuff that is it really is kind of strategized around the fact that Will Howard can hurt you with his legs. And, of course, you have Deuce Vaughn, who's a game changer.
Yeah, Will Howard was 7-10 last week. So they beat Nevada 30-17. Carson Strong, we've talked about them a lot. I'm not sure how good the entirety of that Nevada team is. Obviously not that great. But K-State is... this could really go either way. This would be a good sample size. You've got two quarterbacks that have not done much. Will Howard was 7-10 for 123, one touchdown, and that was it. Now, he did have 56 yards rushing, 4.7 a clip.
Yeah, see, that's...
Joe Irvin gave them something. Deuce Vaughn gave them something. They've got a good run game, but I actually believe in this Oklahoma State defense more than some of the other Oklahoma State defenses. I think this is going to be... this is going to be a low-scoring, physical game. You've got two quarterbacks that neither team wants to depend on. Because Spencer Sanders,
I agree with that.
Same thing. They go to Boise State. They get a 21-20 win. I don't know how, but they did. And so give them credit for that. It's good for the league. But Spencer Sanders didn't do anything. Spencer Sanders was 6-13 for 82 yards and no touchdowns. He had a 46.9 QBR, and they went into Boise and won this game.
That's a hell of a... that's a compliment to Oklahoma State.
It is.
In the other phases of the game.
Jaylen Warren, 32 carries, 218. Rod, no one was talking about Jaylen Warren, maybe outside of Stillwater preseason.
Man, you were able to win a game in 2021 when your quarterback is 6-13 for 82 yards. But he didn't have any turnovers. Did he have any?
No touchdowns, no picks.
And usually Spencer Sanders will give you a couple, and that's when he usually gives away the game. But if he can just stay turnover-free, that defense is good enough of Oklahoma State to keep them in games.
Yeah.
And that's why this game will be a tight game. And you said it will be a low-scoring game. I love K-State, the split zone. They're running split zone out of strong eye. I mean, they're running some old school concepts.
Explain that and explain how old school that is, because I think people will get it once you explain it.
Man, they bring basically a kind of an offset fullback. It run the I formation, you know, so they're three, the quarterback and then
but it's
the,
not full, a straight
the fullback
the
right behind
offset.
Him. But the fullback's a little bit offset of the quarterback. And, man, they're running, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And then the fullback, of course, he's blocking kind of the opposite way of the way the running back, whatever hole he's going to. So usually on the opposite end of that formation is where he's blocking. It confuses the linebackers because their read at times can
There's
be
There's some Shanahan false steps in there, right?
Well, with Deuce Vaughn, all you need.
You don't need many false steps.
All I need you to
be.
You can
have pure steps and miss.
Is a half a step late, and Deuce Vaughn can make you look bad. So they're running they're just really fun to watch. I'm with Oklahoma State right now, but I could see if Will Howard has a breakout game, they could end up winning it.
Yeah, trust me, I would love to give y'all some games like we have the last couple weeks. And we're going to get to beat the pluck. We're going to get actually to SMTCU.
You've been giving away some money now. People can't get greedy. You expect every week for you to come in here with a lead pipe lock.
Well, it should only add to credibility that I'm not coming in every week. There are going to be some weeks where you come in and you just go, I mean, I'm sure there's something there, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think there could be a couple things there. We'll get to that and beat the plug. Let's get back to Texas and Texas Tech. 7 a.m. pregame, 11 a.m. kick tomorrow. We'll have postgame, obviously network postgame following the game, and then Trey and I will be in here to take your calls, and hopefully it'll be a Texas win. I'm seeing a lot of Texas predictions for them to win this game but not cover the spread. And that spread, you asked about it earlier, that spread's around 8.5. 9, depending on which book you're looking at. I just think there's too many question marks about both teams. Could Texas win this thing by 17? Can I foresee that? Absolutely. Can I foresee this being a tight game and either team wins? Yeah, I can, because I've got that many question marks about different units on both teams.
I'm not sure, you know, because I wonder how fired up Texas Tech is going to come out. You know, if they're going to come out with a way early on to kind of jump on top of Texas, whether it be a big play early on, schematically something they found, whether it be defensively them being really aggressive, taking some chances to try to get Casey Thompson, who's making his second start, by the way. All right, and it's not against Rice this time. Try to get him to, you know, get a little bit discombobulated early on. Try to get him to make some mistakes. It's going to be interesting because I'm with you. I could see a blowout. If Texas can run the ball, if Texas has a dominant rushing attack and Tech can't stop the Texas running game, then Texas is going to blow out Texas.
They're going to win. Yeah.
They're going to blow them out.
And they're going to cover.
Just that simple. They're going to blow them out, and they're going to easy. They're going to cover easy if they can't stop that running attack. But if Tech's rush defense, which they say it has improved drastically, and the numbers do tell you that yes, the Texas Tech rush defense has improved dramatically. They haven't played many teams who have a dominant rushing attack like Texas. I haven't played any teams that have a dominant rushing attack like Texas. So this is the biggest test for their rush defense of the year, and I'm not sure if they're going to. I don't know if they're going to pass it. If they get a passing grade like a C against the Texas running game, to me, That means they have a shot to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I think if they end up failing to have any type of success, and that means forcing negative plays. And that's what happened against Rice. My man Jeff Howe threw out this stat against Rice of the 41 rushes Texas had versus Rice, and it was a dominant rushing performance. 14 of them were for 2 yards or fewer. And I believe it's upwards of 320 of the 330 rush yards you had were yards off explosive plays, just chunky yardage plays where guys just broke away from the defense. And yes, it was good blocking, but the running backs, you know, they were able to pull away and get those game-changing plays. So, you know, if Texas Tech can negate some of those explosive plays that they got versus Rice, I'm sure they'll have less because Rice was abysmal on defense trying to stop them. I think Texas had 9 12-plus yard runs. But if Texas Tech can kind of neutralize the explosive plays and then force negative plays, either rushes for no yards or less, that's when you know there's some problems. Yeah, because Texas is going to win, of course, but if Texas Tech can win their fair share up front, get them in third and long, that's what they want to do.
Yeah, get them in third and long, and then at that point, I would bracket Whittington if I'm Texas Tech. We talk about bracketing and doubling – especially if Whittington's in the slot.
Or not, now make Zay, sure he doesn't beat X. You. Now you got to worry about X too.
You got to, yeah. I mean,
that's what happened last week.
Yeah,
now,
it was a game.
Sarkis, yeah, Sarkis presented you with another option that may, you know, that may actually hurt you in the passing game.
I think the best thing, we talked about how it helped Texas with the first touchdown last week, getting Xavier Worthy on the edge with that little pitch, getting him involved. It can fan out and widen mm-hmm. the defense a little bit. It helps on film, too, for Texas Tech. Texas Tech is saying, okay, they actually give this now, so we got to set the edge. You can't come crashing down right away, because that's what happened last week. The Rice edge defender had to respect that and contain enough mm-hmm. that it was too late when Bijan went there. And there was a safety who would have been filling that hole, who I just thought, you know, I guess he thought he was going to be the genius of the whole thing and thought, I think he's got the ball. And he went sprinting out towards the flats as Xavier didn't have the ball.
Yeah.
So
it's Rice. They're wicked smart.
Yeah, well, wicked smart, but that guy wasn't. Some other things kind of looking at. So we talked about Eazy-E and how good he's been, and he has been, really has been fantastic. He's the real deal, man.
Yeah.
He's a real MF&G, as I said yesterday. Little Eazy-E shout out. 13 catches for 322 yards. And when looking at the FIU film, when FIU, they tried to do, I mean, they're not idiots. They said, okay, we got to bracket this guy. We got to double this guy. When they rolled coverage that way, Shuck did a pretty good job of getting five other receivers, including Kuntz, Tharp, two tight ends, involved, kind of looking the other way. He did a better job of recognizing that early on that, okay, I see what you're doing, and we've got guys to spread it out. So really both receiving cores, who's going to step up? We've got a lot of questions and unnamed guys, named guys, but not proven guys. Who's going to step up outside of Eazy-E and maybe outside of Jordan Whittington in the slot?
Yeah, I think for Texas, you're more optimistic about that question, because you have Xavier Worthy and you have Jordan Whittington, two different options. And if Sark, you know, decides to use more position fluidity, moving those guys around and putting, you know, sometimes Jordan Whittington in the slot. We saw Jordan Whittington in the backfield. Why not Jordan Whittington in the backfield, then Xavier Worthy in the slot? Right? You're
yeah.
both those guys options to run routes and get freer releases for Casey Thompson, more creative ways to get them open. So I think with Sark, you'll see that seems to have been another reason why Xavier Worthy had a really, really good, game versus Rice. He was in the slot 30% of his snaps. That was the most since he's been a starter. It's only three games. Since he's been a starter here in his young career at Texas. So I think that number is going to increase with him. And also, it was the most snaps that Jordan Whittington had as the outside receiver versus Rice. So he's starting to move both of those guys around a little bit more, and I think you'll see that continue. He should continue to do that. If he does, they'll have a lot of success. Speaking of having success, you have success, you might want to toast to your success. If you toast to your success, make sure you're doing it with Bud Light, the world's number one selling light beer. It's a sure sign of a good time, so a lot of people are either drowning their sorrows or toasting to a brighter tomorrow. You can do either with Bud Light. This weekend, the best way to get the weekend started is with a nice ice cold Bud Light. So on your way home, make sure the fridge is stocked with nice ice cold Bud Light. Pick up one from your local grocery store, pick up some Bud Light from your local convenience store. And if you don't want to do that, remember, you can always sit at home. You always can order from Drizzly and order Bud Light, Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Seltzer, have it delivered right to your door. That is a safe and responsible way to enjoy the sure sign of a good time. Bud Light and football, there's nothing better than that. That truly is America's championship tag team, America's favorite game, and America's favorite beer. Bud Light is my choice, should be yours too. All year round, Bud Light is America's beer of choice and the world's favorite light beer.
If I'm Texas Tech, I make sure the right side of the offensive line does not beat me. I overload on that side. I'll let them run behind the left side and hope I can clean that up. And also, when I'm applying pressure and I'm getting blitzes set up, I'm going to take advantage of, still use the twists and stunts. I'm still pressing on the outside. That hadn't been answered with the Texas personnel, but I'm going to try and confuse really the center all the way over to the left side and try and get some I don't want to say cheap pressure, but some easy pressure.
Yeah, I mean, Texas will if Texas can run the ball, they'll negate all of those tactics, right? They won't even have to worry about addressing.
All that goes out the window at that point.
Any of those issues. You won't have to worry about the bump and run on the outside. You won't have to worry about the games and the twists and stunts up front. You really won't have to worry about them blitzing as much if the running game is working. Now, if the running game is not working as well as you would like and you're not able to stay ahead of schedule and then you get behind the chains, yes, then it becomes a concern about, you know, the wide receivers being pressed on the outside and the twists and stunts up front. I think ultimately, if you know they are able to get you in a predictable passing situation, Sark is smart enough. I saw in the game, and I'll track it. Maybe we'll bring it up in Roch around the day. He's using more bunch formations. So you'll probably see more bunch formations to wide receivers in really tight, condensed sets, compressed sets. Also, where the wide receivers are tighter, closer to the line of scrimmage, closer to the tackles, closer to the tight ends, call those compressed sets. You can see more of those too. DBs like myself, very reluctant to press wide receivers when they're in bunch formations and press them when they're in compressed sets, because you could have what we call starburst routes where the wide receivers end up releasing in all different directions and nobody really knows where they're going. You read that better when you have a little bit of space, and we can tango it, what we call tango, where I can take the outside cut. A linebacker or a nickel would take the safety, take the inside cut, or I can take the deep route. Someone take the underneath. We call that tango. We're dancing right now.
That's about communication. Yeah, that will test that. Yeah, and also prep.
Yeah, and you can't do that usually when you're pressing. You both got to be able to see it. So Sark, I think, will force them to do that because he'll have compressed sets, he'll have condensed sets, and bunch formation. So that's what you do to try and negate the pressing if they're going to come up and press you. And I would if I'm Tech. I'm with you. I do that all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
That's a good point. We talk about you talk about the tango coverage, and we see DBs do that, especially with the jumbo routes. But to do that, you have to have enough space to actually see where the initial break is by the receiver. So if you come up and press, you can't do that. Yeah. That should alone get their hands off of us.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the cheat codes that Sark uses a lot. So I think that I'm not as worried about it. If I see that happening a lot and Sark not making adjustments, then yes, I would throw something at the TV. But all the tape I've watched of Sark, that's already built into the formula of the offense. It's baked into the recipe of the offense already.
Well, let's continue that talk in one and done, because I was very upfront about Terry Joseph. I'm sure he's a great guy. I've never met the guy. But just talking to some Notre Dame people, that was one of the questions I had about the coaching hires. I think they did a really good job. I was really fired up about Kwiatkowski. But Kwiatkowski with Jimmy Lake really ran and coordinated the secondary. This is going to be the first test for this Texas secondary. They held up against Louisiana. Louisiana really didn't try and do anything against them. Neither did Rice, and Arkansas didn't have to. This game could very easily come down to hopefully a rebuilt and much better Texas secondary that will have that communication we just talked about. It will continue the Texas Tech talk in One and Done.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go One and Done him before I look at the Texas Tech passing game and the Texas secondary and what Texas has to deal with that. Derek Cohen playing ball outside for the show. He said, "Hey, did you wear a flex shirt yesterday?" "Yes, I did. Different color. I threw that in the hamper and just grabbed something today." Rob, we were kind of laughing during the break because we've said this before, but a lot of times you and I are like the chick that Jerry dated can almost look like a superhero. You essentially wear the same thing every day. Now, she was wearing the exact same thing every day.
Yeah.
But I've got three of these, and hey, I just grabbed. Maybe I put them in my closet together. I don't think I did on purpose, but I just grabbed them. It was like, all right, you're the next one up. Last time I really thought about what I was going to wear was on a date. And it wasn't like 22-year-old me saying, all right, what should I wear? I go, no, that looks good on me.
Yeah, you weren't stressing out about it.
No, I wasn't stressing out about it. But I looked.
The one yesterday was black, but I'm with you. I don't.
Thank you for remembering that.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I mean, when I come to work, I could. It's possible I could wear the same thing.
I think you've
back
got five of those right there.
I got a
nice
bunch,
gray polo.
Oh, I got a bunch of polos, and you're right. They're all close to the same color. They're gray, charcoal gray. Maybe it's black and grayish, but it's possible I probably have worn the same thing back to back days, but not dirty. They're not dirty.
No, it's not dirty.
I wash it on my wife washes
great.
It.
Great.
Yeah, and I don't look at it when I grab it. I literally am just, I grab it. Boom, let's go.
What age is that happen?
I'm 40 now, so, and I'm married, so I don't need to.
You were doing that before you were married, though.
That's true.
But you were married.
But I was with the woman.
You
yeah.
were married.
So you're right.
Which is why this transition's been great.
Yeah, it's natural for me. I'm just becoming my dad, unfortunately. That's what I'm realizing, becoming my dad.
There was an old brother at, I think, the Hutto store who had socks on, and he had, like, sandals, and he just had that look, you know? Almost a George Jefferson look without the nice suit.
Like older, did he have the horseshoe working,
older
too?
He had the horseshoe.
Oh, man.
Older brother had the glasses like I did down low, kind of looked over at us. I think it may have been the player's dad. I forgot if that was him or not.
Oh.
Because he came back and then came and talked to us.
Oh, okay.
Nice. But I just looked and I thought, man, that is great right there. He does not care at an HEB what people are thinking about.
He's done. He's done. He's done with that part of his life.
He's done with planning to get ready for the HEB.
Your opinion of him does not matter
to
him. That's how I am at this point. I'm like, I don't really care what you think of me. If I wore the same thing back-to-back days, I'm not trying to impress you. And as you pointed out, it's actually a compliment to us.
We're comfortable.
You're not trying to impress. Like, no, man, I don't get judged by my coworkers. But they accept me as I am.
The fact that I didn't even know what I was wearing yesterday, and I was like, I know it's a new shirt. I promise you. And then you go, no, Kitty, it's gray. The other one was black.
Yep. I don't even know why I knew that. I'm paying attention to what you're wearing, which is also disturbing.
And get back here. Get back here, because I need to get my arm loose during the break.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He had to drop off the dog.
You were throwing when I got here. You weren't loose then?
So
I was throwing when I came in.
Isaiah, Trey, Chad all come out, and Derek and I are just whipping the tennis ball all over the
right
place.
Right by people's hands.
And Zay looks at me.
I had
like,
dodge one, too.
Yeah, you did, John. And Zay's like,
that's a workplace, it could be a liability, man.
Zay's hilarious. I love Zay. Zay goes, man, you guys are some crazy white boys. Like, well, I'm not going to deny that.
Well, and that Zay voice, too.
Yeah, no, he goes,
so, I just pictured the Zay voice.
He's laughing. He's like, man, y'all some crazy white boys.
I love Zay.
Flipping the tennis ball around here.
At work.
I think there's going to be some flipping going on, and hopefully not long passes and not on the money from Tyler Shuck. But going through Texas Tech, watched all three of their games, and Shuck really looked good against FIU. I think that game, they were down 14-7. Mm-hmm. It's 54-21, I believe, was the final. It was even more of a spread than that. I mean, they really put it on defensively. We'll continue to get into some of the stuff they've done. They haven't really played anyone. You've got Houston in there. The SFA game is clearly their worst game, where they win 28-22. They're averaging 40 points per game. Here's something going through the numbers, too, because I looked at the numbers after I watched the game. So, okay, do the stats match what my eyeballs saw, right? Okay. And the run game is something. I know it's Cumbie. I know it's Tech. But Wells has, I think he's re-identified this program to some degree with toughness, physical toughness. We see that on defense, and we see it a little bit with the run game. On their first downs, they've converted 28 through the air, 24 on the ground.
They balance.
That's pretty balanced.
He wants balance on that offense, man. I know it's weird. We have to reprogram ourselves in the way we identify Texas Tech.
We do.
So the air raid has infected our perception of Texas Tech for so long.
And it's gone viral nationally.
Exactly, right? Everybody looks at Tech the same way, and we have to avoid that kind of ignorance here because we're closer to it. But, yeah, I mean, it's not our fault. I mean, Leach to Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, I get it. But, no, he has, over the 3 years he's been there, go look at their past. passing numbers and their rushing numbers. They have started to run the ball more, whether you're talking about attempts or yards and productivity overall, and they're starting to throw the ball less. But their throws now, when they do throw the ball, I think they're more meaningful and more deliberate with their pass attempts than they used to be. But he wants more balance, man. It is. It's a more, and I think it's actually a more successful formula to win for them.
It is.
It's not so lopsided. It's not, you know, boom or bust.
And it helps out your defense. If you're really trying to be real and trying to build the defense, you got to help them out at times. They're averaging 5.5 per attempt on the ground. So Roderick Thompson should come back. He's a good back to go with Taj Brooks.
Yeah.
And you mix that together. The biggest thing for me in the FIU game, I mentioned it earlier, was there's two things. And I'll give Derek Cohen some credit. Derek played at Westlake. Derek knows his ball.
Yeah, he
and
does.
And I think we're actually impacting him now because he's out with us all the time. He goes, I was looking at tech film. I go, okay. And I go, what'd you see? And what he saw was what both of us saw. When you look at it, they will purposely isolate linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, to me, Brockemeyer and Overshown, who's had some false steps and has run his way with over pursuit out of plays, they'll isolate them, especially via the pass game. And that's where I think if Texas is going to bracket or double or just concentrate on Eazy-E, which I'm with you, they should. Don't let him beat you. Shuck did a pretty good job of isolating certain backers in those games and using the other 4 to 5 receivers they have. This is where the backers, they're going to have to be better with their first step, because the first step for the linebackers has not been great, and I don't expect a lot of pressure. I do expect Kwiatkowski, especially in passing downs, to dial up more intricate blitzes than we've seen so far. We've seen him in the red zone against Louisiana bring some stuff out. Nothing worked against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And at times with Rice, it's like, all right, if you get down here, we're actually going to dial something up if we know it's a passing down. But we talk about the secondary, and we're going to get to them here in a second with Terry Joseph and the coordination with Kwiatkowski. I really believe the linebackers, they're going to try and isolate specifically Brockemeyer in certain situations.
Yeah, they do it with their RPO game. They try to isolate defenders specifically in the RPO game, and that's what they're really good at. And that's something that with Sonny Cumbie, of course, whether it's an air raid staple or not, I mean, that's something that they kind of hang their hat on in the passing game. And they like to use the play-action pass and all that. That's partly why Matt Wells wanted to establish an identity running the football, is so that they could build off the RPO game and build on the play-action pass. So when they go after Luke Brockemeyer, they're going to isolate him specifically. And the way they kind of occupy the eyes of the linebackers with jet sweep motion, with pre-snap motion.
Good eye candy, man.
So they're gonna try to occupy the eyes early on.
Has gotten these backers.
And then, as you mentioned, like isolate them with the RPO game. And I think that's probably where that's one of the ways I would attack Texas. And that allows you also to, attack the edges as well, though, I think with their offensive line against Texas' defensive front. If you don't want to really go up against those interior D linemen, hit them edges, man.
Hit the edges. And there's a lot of eye candy. You go back to this personnel with Kansas State last year. Yeah, they put up 70, but they gave up, 30-something in that game. And that was the Jaron Thompson, Jalen Ford. You had a lot of younger players on offense and defense playing. But defensively, even when they look good, I walked out of there excited about Jaron Thompson and Jalen Ford. And they took a lot of bad steps. And I got
angles with
the eye candy. First step's going to be important for these linebackers. And then getting into Terry Joseph. Terry Joseph was at Notre Dame for a couple years. The secondary was pretty good. And Driscoll is a former football coach. He is dialed in. So he said, first off, he's a great guy. He said, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he didn't really do much here. And they weren't really upset to see him go. We've already heard from Sark that he is coordinating the secondary and the coverage. And he's doing that with Kwiatkowski, who is obviously coordinating what the pressure and up front's going to be. And then there's Derek with the tennis ball. And then also kind of obviously what the play call is going to be. But that coordination together, Jimmy Lake at Washington, they worked really well together. Now Lake is the head coach for Washington. This is the first test for me with Terry Joseph, not only with fundamentals and technique, how much have these guys gotten better, but also what kind of coverages is Texas going to have? Because I do think with not only Isakama, but then big tight ends, they will use their tight ends. Repeat again, Kuntz and Tharp. And then Geiger and some of the bigger, younger receivers for Texas Tech who do need to take that next step. Hopefully this won't be that game. And for Texas, hopefully they're not going to be the space cadets we've seen on film. And I like these kids. I mean, we met Josh Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Thompson wants to propose to my niece tomorrow. The junior at TCU, go for it. Like, really sharp
kid.
Said
that multiple times, actually.
I had, because you know why?
Man.
You know why? Because the
Is she in a relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't know I'm saying this. So, yeah, whatever.
You don't like the guy she's dating because you're trying to fix her up with Josh Thompson all the time.
Barely met him. But I've met these guys.
Yeah,
and
no,
I'm
with you.
I'm like,
he is cool.
You
he's
know, Bijan and Josh Thompson. Thompson's a
good dude.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a bright kid. So none of this is on them. But it's on film. If I'm Texas Tech and I'm Sonny Cumbie, I'm going to test these guys. I'm also going to see if I can get some pre-15s, which we really haven't seen a lot this year. I'll give them credit. They have not been clutching, grabbing, holding, freaking out as much when the ball's in the air. But they haven't been tested. That's the real thing. They're going to get tested this game. We're going to figure out how much the secondary has gotten better. And also, we're going to have a better feel for Terry Joseph and how he works with Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm with you. I'm a little concerned about that. That might be my top concern right now, because if the secondary can't hold up in coverage, then they're going to need a pass rush to try to disrupt the passing game. And the pass rush hasn't been a strength of the defense. I'll just say that. And that would be my concern going up against their passing game. So we'll see. You can grow a lot as a secondary in a year, and that's what we're hoping. With the new coach staff, Blake Gideon's back there, Terry Joseph, it's a secondary now, not the secondary that they were last year when the corners were a liability in coverage. They just were. I like them, but they were.
They were. You can grow a lot in a year, but sometimes the 3 years of what we've already seen is kind of who you are. So,
but they're going to keep those two high safeties, I think. I think Pete Kwiatkowski early on, I think, you know, Texas Tech will plan
assuming
for
Tech
either.
Can't run.
Arkansas ran and he kept those damn safeties.
Right. So I don't want that result.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm assuming he's going to keep the safeties high to start with, and his assumption is they'll be able to hold up against the run. I'm with you. He will adjust if they can't stop the run, and then that's when the corners potentially will be exposed.
What's the old line about assumptions that make ass out of you and me? That one.
Yeah, that is that one.
Let's hope that's not the case. Let's get back to the NFL coming up next. We will talk a lot more Texas football, including at 5:30 with Rod's Rant. I can assume that is Texas-driven.
Oh, Texas Tech. Much kind of like you. We'll do some kind of buckshot, scatter shooting. We'll be all over the place. We'll talk Texas Tech, break down the game plan.
We'll also get our final thoughts for Tech and UT. The whole 6 o'clock segment will be Texas and Texas Tech. Up next, Bucks at the Rams. That is the game in the NFL. We'll give our thoughts on that one. This is RBKD right here on the Horn.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. This is supposed to be off the record, but since we're short on time, we're actually going to make it a segment where we talk about the NFL, the biggest game of the week in the NFL, and it is the LA Rams hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woohoo!
It is a sexy matchup. I was doing a little research about this matchup, and you know what? The truth is, I'm just not going to go against the GOAT. Until the GOAT gives me a reason to. There are a lot of reasons that I could, you know, pick the Rams. I mean, I could give you some breakdown here about the Rams and why the Rams may have an advantage in certain matchups. But I just think the Bucs have, you know, I think they're going to have a more well-rounded offense to, because I think it could end up being a shootout, and I think they have more weapons at their disposal on offense. We don't know if Antonio Brown's going to play. He's dealing with COVID protocol. So that actually may change things a little bit.
Okay.
So he may not play. Maybe he will play. We don't know until game time. And Daryl Henderson is out for the Rams. So he's not going to play. Sonny Michel, once again, they're dealing with more injury. Man, running backs this year, having a brutal start to 2021.
Don't spend any money on them.
The Rams, think about the Rams.
They're a dime a dozen.
The
don't
Rams,
spend
the Ravens,
any money
and the 49ers
them.
Have been hit hard by running back injuries. I'm talking about third string running backs getting hurt.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
No,
but anyway,
it is.
So Darryl Henderson's hurt, so that's another, I don't know, I think I'm just leaning Bucks, but I could see the Rams winning it. But I'm going to pick the Bucks.
I am too. I think the Rams are going to talk about isolation. They're going to really pick on Jamal Dean at cornerback. Sean Murphy Bunting is out. He's on the IR.
That's not good.
Jason Pierre-Paul is out in this game, I believe.
Ooh.
Antonio Brown is out in this game.
Okay, that could change things.
I still have questions, serious questions about what's going on with the Rams' offensive line, especially the interior. And when you're going up against Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh and Golston and all those guys, I'm going to go with the Bucks in this thing. But I know McVay. McVay is smart enough to try and isolate Dean and isolate some of the weaknesses with that Tampa Bay team, and that is still in the secondary, which was a weakness the whole year except for the playoffs.
That's true. And I don't think they have the weapons that Dallas had at their disposal to really be able to kind of weaponize that advantage of
They got Deshaun.
Or the disadvantage. They do, but he hasn't really played a lot for the Rams at all.
No, he had a long one.
Cooper Kupp is the guy. Cooper Kupp is their leading receiver, and he and Matthew Stafford have a great chemistry early on. So he's actually one of the leading receivers in the league right now. Like, he's killing it.
And his yak is stupid.
It is. So they got him, and they got Van Jefferson's one there. The guy. So I don't know if they have the weapons that Dallas did in their wide receiving core to just take over the game with their passing game. I think they want to have some balance. They'll be going up against the best rush defense in the NFL the last 2 years. But here's, I think, a key, and this is something that I was looking at when I started breaking down the matchup. Of course, I agree with you 100%, looking at Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh going up against whoever the hell's in the interior D-line of the Rams don't look good. I mean, that could be a huge seismic advantage for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But what I always say, if you can't really block and actually have a good – if you can't really protect in the pocket, move the pocket.
Yeah.
And the Rams move the pocket more than anybody else in the NFL, really.
It's their nature.
They move it a ton. Yeah, and what they love is, right, that bootleg, that waggle. They call them keepers when they fake the outside zone and then, you know, basically Stafford keeps it, comes back, surveys the field off of that bootleg waggle look. And I think that if they can do that and hit some big plays, force the Bucks, and you just talked about Pierre Paul's not going to be out. He can really take advantage of the edges there, guys losing contain with some of those bootlegs and that waggle. So watch that, because that's the one thing the counter you have to watch when you're playing against the Rams. If they establish the run, that's the natural counter, and that's the counter for the big chunk yardage plays in the passing game.
David Edwards, a Wisconsin offensive lineman, talked about him a lot the last couple of years. He's a left guard for the Rams. Brian Allen's a center. You've got Corbett, who's the right guard. How do those guys hold up? And then also Havenstein and also Whitworth with the offensive line. If they hold up, Rams have a good chance. But Rob brings up a good point with that zone scheme, waggle boot concept off of it. You've got three levels of guys that are actually going against the stream of where guys are going towards that run zone. And they open up a lot of different windows and holes. And they've got an arm now and that can really hit some of that stuff long.
Can make you defend the entire field.
Really entire
the
field.
The saving grace to be devil's advocate for Tampa Bay in that situation are their linebackers, Lavonte David and Devin White. They got linebackers that can run with
cover.
Those crossing routes and all those, you know, those rub routes that you're going to have when you do have those boot waggle concepts in there. So they match up well. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be another iconic classic game that the NFL just early on in the season. They've had so many. We've had like three of them already.
We've had some great ones. Even with teams we didn't expect.
Yeah,
we expected with this one.
Bucks and the Cowboys was a great game to start off. And you got the Ravens and the Chiefs was another great game. That's some really good ones so far.
Was it Giants-Redskins?
Early on? Yeah, that would end up being good. You're right. It had the marquee names.
No expectations, but it was a competitive game.
It ended up being a competitive game.
It's fun to watch. This one should be as well. We'll talk more NFL coming up at 5:45. Up next, we take a look at the college national landscape. Lots of Texas action in there. We'll give our picks on Texas and Texas Tech. That's where Rod and I will give our picks. And we've got Dave Paul, one of the owners of Pluckers. Dave got off the schneid last week.
Ooh.
Barely, with a goal line stand. I plan on turning that thing back around this week. Get to hornfm.com to sign up for Beat the Pluck. Beat the Pluck is up next.